for Thursday, February 15, 2007. We're going to resume the public hearing that we've been holding here for the last several sessions on Senate Bill 505. And as we had it last time, we've been getting a much stronger response than ordinarily we would encounter in this process, and so we have had to roll over people who've signed up from one meeting to the next. And so as we did last time, we're going to start out by going through those people who were signed up at the Tuesday meeting and take those first. Then we will go on to the list of people who signed up newly this evening and taking those first who signed up who have come more than 100 miles. And that is quite a number of people, so understand that will take us fairly deep into the evening. Our aim will be to conclude around 7 p.m. as we have been before, so that means it is quite limited time. I would urge those who are testifying, it's important input to get from the various perspectives on this issue. In the end, our decision is going to be made by the points that are made, not by the volume or by the quantity by which certain views are expressed. And I would urge again, as Co-Chair Prozanski did at the last meeting, that demonstrations of approval for particular witnesses just consumes time. That kind of demonstration or clapping after remarks are made just takes up time in the process. So I'd urge you not to do that. Under our rules, allow us to forbid that. So with that, we're going to go. Senator Johnson.
It hasn't happened very often, but I went back through my notes, and I'm aware of the fact that several people have testified twice. And I would just like to urge the chair to consider we get a first shot for people who haven't testified rather than hearing testimony from people who are repeat testifiers.
Very good point. Representative Garrard.
Mr. Chair, too, I think we'd like to have a clarification on new testimony. Are we allowing it? Because we make announcements that we're not, and then we do.
Well, the notices that have been that are posted on the meeting have been announcing a general public meeting, and they have included a special note to witnesses that indicates that there will be accommodating witnesses first who are unable to testify due to time constraints. And we alert people that witnesses signing up tonight may not be called to testify.
Okay.
So they have been on notice of that, but of course we don't know how many people are going to actually make it back, and so we need to be able to accommodate people who return, and then new people if there's time that permits.
And Mr. Vice Chair, also just want to put on the record that we actually had the two parliamentarians from both chambers actually worked on the language. The goal is to get as many people up here as we can, understanding, I think, as Senator Johnson has said, if you've already testified once on 505, if we catch you coming up and that, we're going to ask you to stop and let someone else, because there's a number of people who want to have an opportunity to speak for the first time. And as has been mentioned, we'll do our best to get as many people up here, but we're also trying to honor the people that have been here once before and let them speak. And then we have the rule that's always been in place that if you're over 100 miles, we're going to get you up first, and then those others might have to be carried over for future.
And just a clarification on the sort of priority of speaking, there are people who have come to present before on the more general issue of what ought to be done by the Fairness Committee on Measure 37, and then we started holding public hearings on Senate Bill 505, and so some of those people who've already presented in the past on the more general issue have signed up to come and present again, and I would urge you to limit your remarks, if you're in that situation, to the specifics of 505 and not belabor the more general issues that you've already spoken about. And I'll be exercising some discipline to the extent my memory serves with that kind of repetitive testimony. Again, it's just get the information out and not try to just add weight to the discussion. And we're going to we're going to try to hold to 2 minutes, and that means that I'm going to give you a warning at a minute and a half, and at that point you need to wind it up so that we can get the maximum number of people through, because people have come a distance and oftentimes more than once in order to be heard. So our first panel will consist of Jim Gilbert, Adele Pelletier.
Who's already testified.
On measure 37, not on Senate Bill 505.
Is this the continuation of 37, or is this 505?
This is on 505, and what Mr. Gilbert just told us, and I know he has been before our committee before, but he's telling us that he hasn't testified on 505 before.
So Mr. Gilbert, if you're going to testify on 505, you need to talk specifically about 505, not the general concepts of 37.
Okay, so Jim Gilbert, Adele Pelletier, and Peter Kanegi.
All of them.
Mr. Co-Chairs and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to testify on Senate Bill 505. I'm Jim Gilbert, a nursery owner from the Malala area. I wanted to speak tonight about the petitions I gave you a couple of weeks ago, which speak directly to Measure Senate Bill 505, and they're asking for the governor and the legislature to suspend Measure 37. But before I do that, and if I don't know if I have time to do it, I wanted to describe to you an event that occurred outside the hearing room this evening. I was speaking with a woman who is a Measure 37 claimant who's told me that she was against Measure 37. Or something.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gilbert. People are signaling that they can't hear you who are in the audience. We can hear you up front, at least I can, but talk more directly into the microphone.
Sure. This woman told me that she was against Senate Bill 505 because it would deny her the right to build an additional house on her property. She hadn't read Senate Bill 505 and was not familiar with the fact that it does permit a person to build a house on their property. I was able to get a copy of a letter sent out to claimants by Oregonians in Action, and I'd like to read you a quick paragraph of this letter. The fix Governor Kulongoski has proposed is embodied in Senate Bill 505. That bill is basically a moratorium discontinuation of the Measure 37 claim process at all levels. Even if you have all of your claims approved, if you do not have a building permit issued by the appropriate agency dated on or before January 1st, 2007, your claim and or construction process will be halted. Now, that's misinformation, obviously, and it brings to me a fact that perhaps at the beginning of each meeting, it would be useful for people to hear what Senate Bill 505 really means, because I think a lot of new people coming may not have read the bill, and if they get letters like this, they will come ready to testify against it and not knowing what they're testifying against. So I will leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gilbert.
Co-Chairs Prozanski and McPherson, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. My name is Peter Kanegi. I am a full-time farmer from North Albany in Benton County. I encourage you to quickly move forward and pass Senate Bill 505. Okay. Measure 37 has already done irreparable harm to this state. Delay in fixing it will only compound the problem, causing additional problems and higher taxes for us and future generations, as we and they are forced to provide services and infrastructure for subdivisions scattered willy-nilly across the landscape. Not to mention the hardship, frustration, and expense those of us involved in production agriculture will face as we deal with increased conflict from a large influx of non-farming neighbors, competition for resource land, which is already in extremely short supply, and the clogging of our farm-to-market roads with commuter traffic. As you weigh your decision on this temporary timeout and future fixes for Measure 37, there are a few things I would like you to keep in mind. One, the current state of agriculture in the U.S. and just what this country will likely need and demand from its resource lands in the future. Historically, we have relied on our resource lands primarily for food and fiber. Today, we are also starting to demand energy from those lands. No one can say for certain just what the future will hold, but doesn't it make sense to take a conservative approach and conserve as much as we can for the sake of our children? In addition to food, fiber, and energy, ag resource lands are also vital to protecting wildlife and other values that we hold dear.
As
more and more resource lands are compromised with Measure 37 claims, those of us who maintain our lands in resource use are going to be called upon to shoulder more and more of the burden of preventing additional species from ending up on the endangered species list. If Measure 37 is not fixed, we will see a snowball effect as those of us who do not want to file claims find ourselves with no choice as we become surrounded by incompatible development. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kanegi. And before Ms. Pelletier begins, the next panel is going to be Vernon Coates, Kay Peterson, and Joan Zuber. Ms. Pelletier.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I appreciate it. Measure 37 has nothing to do with fairness. We live in rural Washington County where our neighbor is demanding a subdivision of 1 acre lot simply because he has owned his land a long time. How is that fair to us? In the decades that he has owned this land, its value has skyrocketed. How can he claim he's lost money on his investment? We relate this personal situation because it is typical of Measure 37 demands. A landowner had his zoning changed 30 years ago, yet his investment continued to appreciate substantially. Not satisfied, he is now demanding windfall development profits at his neighbor's expense. We live here in value our area where small agricultural farming options are open to us, yet it is also a peaceful place to live. The value of a piece of land is determined not only by what is contained within the lot lines, but by what surrounding property has to offer. My raising hogs would have an impact on my neighbor's property, even though the hogs would be contained in my property. The basic acceptance of this principle is why we don't have strip clubs next to schools. By reinstating zoning that has changed 30 years ago, you are giving one neighbor rights that the rest of the neighborhood does not have. Obviously, reinstating 1974 zoning on one piece of property, but not the property around it, is not going to create fairness. Furthermore, many of us selected and purchased our property confident of the zoning protections that Measure 37 has taken away. Measure 37 has led to cases never imagined. We need time to find a balance between absolute property rights and no personal property rights. The only avenue to fairness is to implement a suspension and develop a compromise that meets the real needs of individuals while preventing the destruction of valuable farmlands and other open habitat.
Ms. Pelletier, if you could come to a close.
Once a compromise that is fair to all parties is reached, appropriate development can move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pelletier. And that next panel was Vernon Coates, Kay Peterson, and Joan Zuber.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Gerard.
Again, I'm getting confused. Are we on 505 or Measure 37?
Well, we are on Senate Bill 505, and I would urge the witnesses to talk specifically to those the provisions of that bill. We've heard a lot of content about Measure 37 generally, but the bill before us is Senate Bill 505 and a combination of an express lane for the checkout line for the small claims of one additional house combined with a temporary hold on other larger claims. So that should be the focus of the testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Vernon Coates.
The point of the issue is it is both 505 and Measure 37. You can't speak to them differently. Thanks for the opportunity to testify before this committee. I am Vern Coates, 5205 South Bend Drive, Salem. Represent myself and two other family members. Each of you should or will have a copy of my written testimony regarding Senate Bill 505. In brief and to the point, kill 505 at committee level. Even though the state has had 800-plus calendar days to process claims, refine the claims processing procedure, I have no problem, and I don't think anyone else has a problem, granting more time to process claims. The bill is nothing more than a smokescreen to dilute intent of Measure 37 and probably provide the legislature with time to devise a plan or bill to undo 37. Allow me to present to this committee two arguments I've been hearing throughout these hearings about Measure 37 and 505. Both our family and our next-door neighbor have received Measure 37 claim approval. We are the only sizable farm acreage within a 5-plus-mile radius of our potential developments. Active farmer impaction from 37 is minimal issue here. Secondly, the gloom and doom argument by anti-37 advocates that health, safety, and environment are going to be compromised, Oregon livability is far out nonsense. No 37 claimant, ourselves included, will have free rein to pollute and destroy the countryside.
Coates,
there are county and state agencies in place to deal with water and all of those issues.
If you could kind of wrap it up, that'd be helpful.
I empathize with full-time farmers whose farming activity will be compromised by 37. I was born on a farm, raised on a farm, farmed until the last 3 or 4 years. To me, the legislature is in a position that they should take an active role in mediating and listening to the farmer and to the M37 claimant concern, and then work with them to minimize confrontational issues. I think I have some ideas that might work with them. I'd be happy to work with any of you. None of this includes a moratorium on 37 claim present plans. The legislature goals should be promote goodwill,
Mr. Coates,
not animosity.
You're beyond your time.
Chip. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Kay Peterson.
Thank you. My name is Kay Peterson. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity to speak this evening. I am a proud third-generation Oregonian. I live near Monitor on a small farm. My husband is a family practice doctor in Woodburn. He is in solo private practice. If he makes a gross medical error, he could kill a patient. He doesn't get a do-over. The patient is dead. Senate Bill 505 is a wonderful opportunity for a do-over. Measure 37 is a terrible, terrible mistake. Allowing Measure 37 to take effect will kill the Oregon we know and love. Before the election, many people heard truly poignant stories of elderly people wanting to put a house or two on their land for their adult children. Voters heard stories about someone owning 20 acres of land, but being unable to build a house on their property. What voters did not know was that developers, land speculators, and timber companies were funding those ads, ready and waiting to cash in and make millions of dollars off of Measure 37. This is a travesty. This is not what voters intended. They were voting to support these average citizens, not the corporate interests. The Oregon we love will be irrevocably destroyed if Measure 37 is allowed to stand in its present form. Once productive farmland and forest land are paved over, they will be gone forever. There is no do-over. The patient is dead. Please, please, think of what is best for all Oregonians. Please think of what you want Oregon to look like 20 years, 50 years, 100 years from now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Peterson. And before Joan Zuber begins, the next panel will be Lorraine Gardner, John Engelbrecht, and Ann Lucas. Ms. Zuber.
My name is Joan Zuber. I live on prime timberland, rich with wildlife and Cascade Foothill Beauty in South Clackamas County. My acreage would be eligible for a Measure 37 claim. I urge you to pass Senate Bill 505. The provision for people who want to put one house on their property, that's fine. That should be going into fast forward. The rest of it should be looked at. You, as members of the Oregon Legislature in 2007, have the responsibility to prevent the unraveling of Oregon's land use protections. I would ask you to accept that fixing this mess is going to require bold, unpopular legislation. You must not allow those who jumped in with Measure 37 claims to influence what has to be done. The rest of us, without the order of land use regulation, will have to pay for infrastructure, schools, police, fire protection, and roads while the developers reap profits at our expense. Molalla River School District voters recently rejected building a much-needed school last fall. Taxpayers do not want to subsidize unrestrained growth. My prediction is, without a fix, Oregon will follow the ongoing national and global trend taking place in other states by some large timber corporations finding a larger profit margin in logging off the trees and then selling the land to investment groups for development. It is happening across the country, and it will happen here if we let it.
Ms. Zuber, if you could come to a close.
I know some of you on this committee have already made up your minds. Some of you stand to personally profit from Measure 37 as it now stands. Please set aside politics, ideology, and worship of the dollar to fix this law before it is too late for Oregon. Thank you.
Ms. Zuber, the next panel is coming forward. So I'll just repeat those names again. It's Lorraine Gardner, John Engelbrecht, and Ann Lucas. And there was so if you could excuse yourselves there so we make space for them. But while that happens, I wanted to comment on something that was just said, as it was a suggestion that there are members of our committee who are influenced by personal financial interests. We have a process under which people declare actual or potential conflicts of interest when we bring in measure to the vote, and that process is the one that controls. People still perform their legislative responsibilities by casting a vote, and so I think that the kind of suggestion or allegation that people are motivated by personal financial interest is not an appropriate kind of suggestion to make to the committee. Again, that next panel was Lorraine Gardner, John Engelbrecht, and Ann Lucas.
My name is Lorraine Gardner. I live near Mulalit, Oregon, here. And I just want to thank the committee members for allowing us all to testify. I really appreciate that. And I'm not here today testifying as a Measure 37 claimant. I'm not here testifying, excuse me, as a not-in-my-backyard NIMBY. I'm not testifying here as an ideologue. I'm testifying here as a citizen who believes that good government is government that works. And I'm hoping that one thing that message you've taken from all the testimony so far given is that in its current wording, Measure 37 does not work. It does not work. It's your responsibility as elected officials to make government work. And I see fixing Measure 37 as an extremely difficult job, and I think you guys need the time to consider all of the testimony you've heard, to listen to all the competing ideas and interests that are involved in this issue. And in order to do that, you need time. And I am for SB 505 because it allows you the time to do your job. And that's why I'm here testifying in support of this measure, because it's simply a timeout, nothing more and nothing less, and it's a timeout that you all need to do the job, and that's why I'm for it.
Thank you, Ms. Gardner. Mr. Engelbrecht.
Good evening. I'm glad you clarified that about the conflict of interest, because I was going to challenge Senator George on a conflict of interest.
Mr. Engelbrecht, what we're here to this evening is to take testimony on the bill.
So
please limit your remarks to that and comments on, as I say, conflict of interest issues. We have a process by which people declare potential conflicts of interest, but this is a legislative process in which we are all, as Oregonians, affected both ways by Measure 37 claims.
Well, I'm doing was saying thank you because you clarified that issue.
Well.
Okay. I'm for 505, and the reason why. In Yamhill County, just alone, Measure 37 footprint is 5.5 times more than our largest city, McMinnville. You could throw in even Newburgh into that footprint, and they're coming in every day. In just one day in McMinnville for the county, there were 678 individual one-acre lots approved under Measure 37, just one day. Now, what do you got in addition to that in Oregon laws? You've got the expansion of the urban growth boundary, gobbling up land also. And there's not a provision in Measure 37 or the old House Bill 2709 to accommodate either one. That's got to be fixed. You just can't continue to gobble up land like that. You're raping it. Additionally, the provision in Measure 37, there's none in there at all for damage done to neighbors. The neighbors come into our county courthouse and to speak on Measure 37, and they're told many times you can't even talk, or our county commissioners just say there's nothing we can do. There needs to be a provision for damages to neighbors. When you pump their wells dry, that hurts them. When you ask them to pay for roads or ruin their roads with these new developments, that hurts them. That has to be corrected.
Yeah, Mr. Engelbrecht, if you could come to a close.
Okay, back in 1950s, I've been here many years, as you can tell, the price of farmland was pretty low. You could farm on it, but you couldn't develop it because there weren't the people or the demand for it. That's why many of these places weren't developed back in the 50s. They knew the land use laws were coming. And they couldn't, but they couldn't economically develop. So now why are they paying off at today's date? Measure 37 needs to be corrected to go back to the date the damage was done, plus interest, less. And then in addition, you need to go make a rule or a law or a change that allows the counties to collect at least 5 years back farm deferral taxes.
Mr. Engelbrecht. Thank you very much. Ann Lucas is next, and the next three names after that will be Robert Rowe, Sarah Dumling, and Pat Malone. Ms. Lucas.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is Ann Lucas. What purpose does Measure 37 serve? We have land use laws. We have urban growth boundaries. Why do we invest in land use planning if a group with special rights doesn't have to obey those laws? I think that Schreiner's Iris Gardens is located on I-5 just north of Salem is a perfect example of going too far. I can't imagine that when the land was purchased for farming by Schreiner's ancestors that they ever thought that many years down the road the land could potentially be development property. It's a perfect example of what is wrong with Measure 37. None of these people lost money on their investments. All of them have land that is far more valuable than when they bought it. This is about windfall profits above what they have already made. Measure 37 has cost the taxpayers more than enough. Measure 37 needs to be repealed. And in the meantime, we need an immediate suspension, and Senate Bill 505 does that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lucas. Those next three names were Robert Rowe, Sarah Dumling, and Pat Malone.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clem.
Mr. Chair, can I just sort of clarify? I'm a freshman, as you know. The process, we're having a hearing on 505, so we can decide whether to accept or reject this bill. If we reject it, we would potentially return to these other larger discussions, but we're trying to make a decision about this particular bill and hear all the good and bad ideas about this particular bill. Is that essentially
that,
right?
That is exactly right, Representative. This is a hearing on Senate Bill 505, which, as I just summarized earlier, it's an express checkout line for small claims of one house outside an urban growth boundary and a temporary hold until no later than June 30 on all other claims and some other detail features. So please focus your remarks on Senate Bill 505, which is what's before us now. Okay, Robert Rowe.
Good evening. My name is Robert Rowe. This is a consolidated version of what I was prepared to discuss on Tuesday evening, which is attached to your handout. Was not the McCall land use that I supported based on soil types and compensation. What happened? Did he envision the building of tomorrow's ghettos today with no room for gardens, room for kids to play or breathe fresh air, clogged highways, raising land prices to the place the younger and older generations that have little hope of owning their own homes, or kicking folks out of trailer courts with no place to go? Did he intend that those of us with non-productive, and I emphasize that, non-productive soils could not share those with others for houses so their American dream might come true? Did he envision miles of the best farmland being absorbed into cities while the more rural lands were reclassified to a higher standard to compensate for its loss to those cities? Measure 37 only allows some of us who chose not to be a part of the earlier opportunities to review our situation. I've been warned not to read this one, but I'm going to. I was very pleased with the way the Tuesday hearing was conducted and really enjoyed listening to what the folks had to say. I was very disappointed when I heard some of those in opposition to Measure 37 say that the farmers, and I put that in quote, that came were not dressed properly. That is sad. They were clean. Most are probably land poor, living below the poverty level. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rowe.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Garrard.
Yet again, another testimony on Measure 37 and not on Senate Bill 505.
Duly noted. Sarah Dumling, and Ms. Doolamy, and this is your first time to testify on Senate Bill 505?
I was here before.
I see. Okay, well then focus
and
particularly.
I have four points.
Thank you. One is,
I do support Senate Bill 505. I'm Sarah Doimling, Polk County, own and manage forest land. The two quick points I will include, I'm definitely in favor of fast-tracking single dwellings on long-time owned land. There's often the argument that other people have just as much right to live in the country as we do. Two points. I think that once farms are turned into subdivisions, the people who purchase those lots are no longer living in a rural environment. They are living in a subdivision. So we have gained nothing, and we have lost forever resource land. As population increases and resource land does not increase, I'm convinced that more than ever that responsibilities come with the privilege of living in the country, and this responsibility involves stewardship of resource land, not just manicuring a large backyard. And on the sort of highest and best level, if we are unwilling to address population issues and accept the idea of an ever-increasing population in the state, it seems to me we have no choice to protect all of our resource land and to create policy to keep it in the hands of those who want to steward that land and leave it in better, more productive shape for future generations. In the face of increasing population, rising fuel and transportation costs, the uncertainties of climate change, the uncertainties of global markets, and the instability of our debt-ridden economy, our resource land is our bedrock. And by not doing everything possible to protect and steward this land, we are making ourselves as individuals and Oregon as a state more vulnerable into the indefinite future.
Ms. Doimling, we're beyond your
time.
That's
fine. The rest is post-505 suggestions, and I will.
Okay. Well, there will be another bill for another day, but thank you very much for coming back. Okay. Pat Malone.
Co-chairs and members of the committee, I'm Pat Malone, and I'm a full-time tree farmer in the Kings Valley area in northern Benton County. I'm here today in support of Senate Bill 505, which fast-tracks a single exception to the current laws. I'm a longtime member of the Oregon Farm Bureau and strongly agree with their positions supporting land use planning, including Senate Bill 505. With the passage of Measure 37, we've traded the predictability that comes with a planning system based on soil science and geography, which has been in place for 30 years, for a patchwork system solely based on when someone bought the property. The key word here is planning. I have been the beneficiary of working and living in an EFU-zoned area. In the 30 years that I've been on our farm, the neighborhood has been fairly stable, and it has been easy to get to know our neighbors and for them to have an understanding of what I'm doing. They know that at times I may be out early making noise or raising dust. I try to minimize the impact on my neighbors, but they know they're in a farming community and I'm just doing my job. I've heard the saying that we don't inherit the land from our parents, we borrow it from our children. I think it's very important to be looking ahead and thinking of what we do today and how does that affect our future. Good fences make good neighbors, and I would add consistent land use laws also help make good neighbors. So I strongly urge you to pass Senate Bill 505 so the legislature has time to fix the serious contradictions contained in Measure 37. I thank you, the committee, for its efforts in trying to fix the problems that 37 has created. And as a farmer, I commend the committee for having the foresight to schedule this hearing on the wettest day we've had in the last month.
Spoken like a true farmer, drawing on my own farm roots. Thank you, Mr. Malone. The next three names are Kelly Gordon, Tyler Gordon, and Penny Cox. Kelly Gordon is up first, I guess.
I'm not used to this thing, so I hope I'm close enough.
But you're coming through fine.
Okay. I am for Senate Bill 505. My name is Kelly Gordon, and I farm grass seed, raise sheep, and grow timber on 500 acres that my grandfather bought from the Army in 1948. We are surrounded by forest companies that are applying for Measure 37 claims. My neighbor to the west has filed a claim for over 80 houses. With all the conflicts that these subdivisions cause, why do these neighbors get so much and the rest of us have to pay? Measure 37 was for one dwelling, for one owner, not for hundreds of dwellings. The conflicts that we've had so far with only 20 neighboring dwellings have been a few sheep-killing dog attacks, many cut fences, belligerent trespassing hunters, one fire, illegal firewood cutting, ATV trespasses, and a couple of thefts. How many more conflicts will there be with hundreds of dwellings next door? I live 3 miles west of Monmouth, where until recently I thought I would be able to make a living without undue conflicts from hundreds of new rural homeowners. Please let me make my living off of this wonderful farm and make Measure 37 give these claimants one dwelling per ownership like the message intended. The way Measure 37 was passed was that Grandma needed a house for her child, and that's what the voters approved. Actually, under Measure 37, Grandma gets a megabuck jackpot for her multiple claims, which the voters did not approve.
Mr. Gordon, if you could summarize, that would be great.
One dwelling per owner, then refer back to the voters to see if this is enough. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Gordon. Next, Tyler Gordon.
Hello. My name is Tyler Gordon, and I am a resident of Monmouth, Oregon, in favor of Senate Bill 505. While leaving Oregon for a time and returning back to the agriculturally rich Willamette Valley, I have been granted the satisfaction of this place, from smelling the dark earthy soil as it is tilled in the spring to spotting the rolling rust-colored grass seed fields just before harvest. These are to me the treasures of Oregon, treasures that appear to be on the brink of being seized by developers exploiting Oregon's Measure 37 in order to transform our forests, farms, and open spaces into sprawling subdivisions that offer little in the way of community, camaraderie, and sustainability. In Polk County alone, the last 80 claims processed, 79 of these 80 claims sought serial partitioning, meaning there was more than one home intended for the subdivision. And this is not the single dwelling that many people I've talked to intended would happen when they voted for the measure. That's Measure 37. Aside from the unfair fantasies that individual speculators have brought before local governments, and apart from the overall ruinous and ominous consequences that an unmodified Measure 37 will impose, I ask you, will the sweet-smelling soils, damp, vibrant forest, and diverse, well-planned communities of today's Oregon be in my generation's future? Will you allow Oregon's open lands to succumb to the pressures of developers through the legal quagmire created through this measure?
Mr. Gordon, if you could come to a close.
Yep. Thank you. I urge you all to approve Senate Bill 505 in order to clarify the ambiguous Measure 37 and preserve not only our well-regarded open spaces, but our treasured quality of life. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gordon. And before you, Ms. Cox starts, let's me identify the next panel, which is going to be Ellen Hudson, Patricia Farrell, and Sharon Konopa.
Okay. Ms. Cox.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to come before you and talk about Senate Bill 505. I am absolutely in favor of Senate Bill 505. I recognize that Measure 37 is a law. It also has parts to it that must be honored. And you have a very difficult situation in front of you to be able to go back to the table, get a little bit more time with Senate Bill 505 to be able to see what is fairness. We've talked about that word a lot, of what is fairness. And currently, from listening to the testimony here, I find that there are three different groups in Oregon who feel that Measure 37 has not been fair to them, and I feel that the adoption of Senate Bill 505 will give an opportunity for fair to be put back into Measure 37. One of all, we have the voters who thought that it was that what they were voting for was a farmer to be able to build one or two homes on their land. They were not expecting to vote for subdivisions. Then there are the Measure 37 claimants that we've heard here who have already invested thousands and thousands of dollars expecting to be able to have a claim. They also must be honored, and you must consider them. Then we have the farmer. He also must be honored. He has expected when he bought land that he would not be having subdivisions around him. This is a very big dilemma, and Senate Bill 505 is going to give everyone an opportunity to be able to go back and look at what is fair. So I call my, what I want to propose here, and I'm going to talk very quickly. It's called my one-minute Measure 37 fix, and possibly what Senate Bill 505 can help do.
Excuse me.
Have I got 1 minute?
The problem is you don't have a minute left.
How many? Go ahead.
And I would say that that's the second phase, and we do have your written testimony, which is pretty helpful. So we know that you support Senate Bill 505, and that may be sufficient, but why don't you just very briefly close.
Thank you very much. We already have laws on the books, and I have in here in my fix. We already have partitions and different land use laws that are available. And if you just read that, this is a suggestion. This is just to show that there is a framework that already exists that we can tweak a little bit with some of the Measure 37 expectations, and we can make a lot more people happy, not only in this room, but in the state of Oregon. And that's what Senate Bill 505 does, is it helps us to examine what do we have already. Let's tweak it a little bit to try to make it fair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Cox. The next three names again were Ellen Hudson, Patricia Farrell, and Sharon Canopa. Ms. Hudson.
That would be me.
Okay.
Thank you for having the opportunity to testify today. I have to admit that I don't think you can separate 37 from 505, and so pretty much everything I've written is not very useful. But I do want to say, and I probably should have brought my sunglasses and my blonde wig, that I'm not a native. I did move here rather recently. From a state that allowed rampant development. And I watched strawberry fields disappear. I watched farmland, agricultural land, farmers just pick up and go because you can't combine subdivisions and farming. And I know this because my father grew alfalfa, and there were many mornings when I would leave for school and not know whether I'd have to wait for a harvester to cross the road, or maybe a huge flock of sheep. And I knew that my waiting for that was part of my commitment to farming and to agriculture. And this is such a gorgeous state, and this is such a... I think people were deceived by Measure 37. And I think now people have awoken and decided that something has to be done. And 505 is, I believe, what has to start that.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hudson. Patricia Farrell.
Good evening. My name is Patricia Farrell. I live in Yamhill County. I support Senate Bill 505. I believe that we need a timeout on Measure 37 and that measure is flawed and dangerous to the health, safety, and welfare of the Oregon we know and love. I've heard people testify that Class 1 soil, some of the best agricultural soils in the country, is best used for homes. I've heard people say that their soil is too steep or too rocky for good farming, but forget that our world-class vineyards and timberlands are growing on those soils. Some people even go so far as to say that Measure 37 is not about livability, but it's entirely about livability and about the future of Oregon. In Yamhill County, there's a number of groundwater-depleted areas. Several of my neighbors have wells that go dry every summer. Yet up and down our small gravel road, Measure 37 subdivisions have been approved by the county, all with private wells and septic systems. To say that our health, safety, and welfare issues will be addressed at the local level is laughable if it wasn't so frightening.
Why should the speculative loss of property rights by a few supersede the rest of our property rights? We bought real property with zoning for certain densities and uses. We've invested time, money, effort, and love into our land, too. Then Measure 37 passes, and all that means nothing. The people whose property will truly be devalued are the neighbors of Measure 37 claims. It will not be easy, but please take the time and effort necessary to fix this measure. I support Measure Senate Bill 505. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Farrell. And before we hear from Ms. Canopa, I need to make an announcement about cell phones and Blackberries, any electronic communication device, not only on silent mode, but turned off because it interferes at times with our recording and amplification system. So please do shut those off completely. We really appreciate your assistance on that. And before, also, I want to announce the next panel is going to be Arena Just, Patricia Royer, and Susan Walsh. Okay, Ms. Canopa.
Okay. Senators and House Representatives, my name is Sharon Canopa, and I am an Albany City Councilor and a native Oregonian. I'm submitting a letter of testimony, plus I want to comment on some of the testimony you received on Tuesday. You heard the word fair from the opposers of Senate Bill 505. How is misleading campaigning fair when not one word in all the Measure 37 television ads stated that some subdivisions were planned all over our state? You heard someone say, shame on you for this Senate bill. That shame needs to be turned the other direction. The opponents to Senate Bill 505 have a financial gain. I doubt if any of the supporters of this Senate bill have any financial gain. I don't. This bill's supporters are here for their love of Oregon, and their concern is the quality of life for the common good. What you have not heard about is the cost of growth and the financial impact urban sprawl has on the taxpayers in the cities. With rising taxes and fees on every existing household from having to subsidize every home, new home built, being built. One person testified Tuesday stating the Senate bill was going to bankrupt the landowners who have Measure 37 claims. That is their choice to file a claim. More growth and sprawl is currently bankrupting residents trying to be able to afford to stay in their own homes. You add rural sprawl to their tax burden, and city residents and local governments will be hurting more. Urban residents pay city and county taxes. Rural residents do not pay city taxes. Rural residents have to drive into the cities for services, housing needs, doctor's appointments, etc. Who paid for those streets and the constant maintenance of those streets? The residents in the cities did. Who paid the city libraries you can visit without paying for a library card? Who paid for city parks, free concerts, and water to support those parks? Who pays for the city police protection when they visit a city? City residents pay for police protection in the cities, plus the bulk of funding for the county sheriff's patrols that serve the rural homes are paid by the city residents. County patrols could not be able to exist without the city's support.
Ms. Canova, if you could summarize the rest of your testimony, because okay. We do actually have all the written testimony here.
Okay. Subsidizing farms, though, is a benefit to all urban and rural residents. Subsidizing sprawl is not a benefit to all. It's a tax burden. So, senators and representatives, please keep the overall cost of growth as a factor to your decision-making over Senate Bill 505. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Canopa. And thank you to this panel and all others who have come back a second time to be heard. Next panel, again, is Arena Just, Patricia Royer, and Susan Walsh. Ms. Just.
Good evening, Representative McPherson, members of the committee. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share my thoughts with you this evening. My name is Irina Just. I'm a sheep farmer and vintner in rural Linn County. I actively campaigned against Measure 37 2 years ago, and I'm vehemently against this for the good of me measure. I commend the governor for his attempt to fix it and to allow small landowners to add one dwelling to their property while suspending such obscene and enormous Measure 37 claims by the timber industry, developers, and big corporations. If it came to a vote, I would wholeheartedly support Senate Bill 505. Having said that, I'd like to take the conversation a step further and strongly encourage this committee to seize this golden opportunity, this moment of reflection, this time out to step back and take a deep breath to not just simply fix the past, but instead develop a vision into the future. The land use program has served Oregon very well during the past 34 years, but we live in a different world. Climate change and peak oil are already affecting and shaping our lives in the way we live. Intelligent use of our land, natural resources, local food and energy sources are not only a good idea, but a necessity. We need to grow and consume local food, reduce transportation, and not just find new ways to power our vehicles so we can drive and live like we have to, oblivious to any changes around us. We have the perfect opportunity to be visionaries again and make decisions that will benefit all Oregonians, not just a few greedy conglomerates and wealthy corporations that use emotional blackmail to further their greed. I believe there's hope. Oregonians are starting to remove the wool that the Measure 37 wolves had pulled over their eyes. Yes, the sheep farmer. And they start to see, and they begin to understand the consequences. So I urge you to, I'm strongly in support of Senate Bill 505, and I want it to be used as a timeout to look into what we can do to wisely shape Oregon. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Just. Patricia Royer.
Thank you, Chairman, Co-Chairman, and committee members. I'm Pat Royer, Newburgh, Oregon. I'm not in favor of Senate Bill 505. I'm in favor of Measure 37, even though it does not do nearly enough. I'm guessing that in the early 70s, when these rigid land use restrictions came into existence, not one person in this room had an email account or a PC or Internet access. You couldn't Google the economist Thomas Sowell and land use and get over 14,000 hits in less than a second. My point is, a lot of things have changed since Tom McCall said, visit but don't stay. Changed in ways we couldn't even imagine then. Someone else could decide whether or not the Bhagwan had a point when he said there's idiots and then there's Oregon idiots. But we have allowed this static, set-in-stone experiment in land use regulations to be imposed upon us. Not willingly. We've tried to retake our rights. It takes tremendous resources to get these initiatives on the ballot and passed. Most people don't have the luxury of the extra time and energy and money to spend on doing that. They're too busy earning a living. I don't like spending the time and gas coming down here for this, my fifth trip, but I feel what I have to say is important. I'm hoping you will think outside the box with an open mind and generous spirit, pool your creativity, give us a whole new system that's like a living language, flexible, adapted, fair to all, and reasonably applied on a county-by-county, case-by-case basis, because clearly one size does not fit all, nor does any one single person or group of people have all the good ideas. Instead of building more prisons to accommodate more mandatory sentences, we could think of ways to make the American dream more accessible, make it easier for families to spread out. They don't belong crowded into cities. Those who choose to live in cities should be free to. The rest of us should not be forced to. Other options should be affordable and available. I've attached some of Sowell's writings. He says it better than I can. When the use of land is restricted to ways that only the wealthy can afford, that eliminates the major part of the demand for that land, a major part of its value. Land use laws are just one way that governments can confiscate much of the value of private property without having to compensate the owner. I hope you will consider his point of view.
Ms. Royer, you've gone over time, and I'd let you finish up because I could see the text you were reading, but we're beyond time here.
If you once again thwart the will of the voters, we will be back, more determined than ever. Some of us will live long enough, and we will succeed in getting fair laws that flex and adapt to serve all of our growing, evolving population. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Royer. Susan Walsh is next, but I want to call the next names so you're ready. It's Ilsa Purse, Byron Fessler, and Ashton Root. Okay, Ms. Walsh.
Hi, I'm Susan Walsh, a resident of Yamhill County, and I wanted to speak in support of Senate Bill 505. I feel like there are many unanswered questions about the procedures of Measure 37. They seem to be quite different depending on which county you live in. People don't know where to go if there's a problem, who to appeal to. I totally agree with the aspect of 505 that lets single-family dwellings be on property and that this would get an express line. I think that really we need a time to develop some guidelines or some rules, whichever you want to call them, particularly with these larger claims. The smaller claims, I think most of us felt that that was the intent of Measure 37, and we're fine with that. It's just the larger developments that I think most of us have concerns about, and that's what I've heard from the previous day's testimony as well. I hope that by slowing this process down, we'll get some criteria for decision making in the county, and that filing fees could be made uniform across the state, that we can have rules regarding availability of water, which is a critical issue, and the infrastructure services that people previously spoke about. Those of us in rural areas, as you've also heard, do not really want to pay higher taxes for these new developments, for the schools and roads and the pollution that they cause. And I'd like to ask you to support 505 before further damage is done to our forests and farmland. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Walsh. Those next three names are Ilsa Purse, Byron Fessler, and Ashton Root. Ms. Purse.
Thank you. Members of the committee, my name is Ilsa Purse. I live in Yamhill County. I'm a property owner where I own 175 acres of farmland that comprises wetlands, timber, organic alfalfa, and small acreage organic vegetable production, and I am a supporter of Senate Bill 505. 505 is needed to rectify the inherent dishonest marketing that occurred in order to pass Measure 37. When the selling of Measure 37 began, I was astonished to hear that land use laws had made farmers lose money in their property. This amazed me, since the farm I bought was sold to me for approximately 20 times what the seller had paid for it a few decades before. Many farmers in my area sell farmland at a huge profit. And I understand that land use laws made it difficult for farmers to build multiple dwellings on their property, but that again was somewhat dealt with in 1993 with the adoption of Lots of Record and the Forest Template, and that allowed for hundreds of houses to be built in Yamhill County alone. But Measure 37 was not about allowing farmers to build a few houses on their land. If that had been the case, we would not be here today. Senate Bill 505 takes care of some of what happened in Measure 37 that has been a complete unintended consequence for many of the people who voted for it. If the TV ads for Measure 37 had featured Plum Creek, Stimson Lumber, or farmers who wanted to build 100 houses on 100 acres instead of Dorothy English, Oregonians would not have voted for the measure. Many are now appalled at the bald-faced misrepresentation of that measure. And that is obvious that rural subdivisions will destroy the irreplaceable farmland, giving huge windfall profits to a few at the expense of many. And the public outcry is growing, and Senate Bill 505 will allow the supposed intent of Measure 37 to move forward, the building of a few houses.
Ms. Purse, you're beyond your time now,
oh, sorry.
So to close out.
I just want to say that Yamhill County has a huge water problem, and Measure 37 is going to make a very difficult situation even worse. Hopefully in the future there will be some rectification for low water areas to be dealt with, so that folks do not have their wells run dry as farms are being destroyed with subdivisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Purse. Mr. Fessler.
Okay. I'm here today to represent those like myself who were only 16 years old when our land use laws took effect. We had no representation. But we were taken good care of by your predecessors and Governor Tom McCall.
You need to state your name for the record, please.
Byron Fessler, Yamhill County. I've witnessed testimony from those claiming they've been cheated, but there's not one person here claiming a loss who couldn't sell their property today for a lot more than they paid for it. How do I know? I'm also representing the community, or the majority of my community, that can't be here to testify because both parents are working to pay for the expensive lots they've bought from long-term property owners like these. After 25 years on my great-grandparents' homestead, I know these long-term owners. They've lived well. They've had timber, ranch, and farm deferred taxes that have allowed them to do whatever they wanted on their land. And they've watched the value grow astronomically. But what they're demanding here comes at the expense of those who can't do the same. Disregarding the corporate fat cats hiding around here, this has got to stop. It's pitting neighbor against neighbor. I've got a neighbor who made one of the first Measure 37 claims in Yamhill County. Under this statute, it was approved by the state. Well, he's back. He's amending a five-parcel subdivision on 131 acres. Now he's demanding 131 individual one-acre lots with the ability to place a dwelling on each.
Mr. Fessler, if you could close.
If the claims we're seeing now can be appealed, what's to stop this from getting even worse? To protect today's 16-year-olds like I was protected, do what needs to be done. Stop this land abuse and scrap this mistake.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Fessler. And before we hear from Ashton Root, the next panel will be Taylor Root, Martin Peets, and Emily Kesey. Okay, Mr. Root.
Hi there. My name is Ashton Root. I am against Senate Bill 505. I voted for Measure 37, and guess what? I actually knew what I was voting for. To restore the property rights for all, not just Dorothy English. I actually took the time to read my voter's pamphlet. Shame on Kulongowski for insulting my intelligence and attempting to disenfranchise my vote with an 11th-hour Senate bill. If Senate Bill 505 passes, it paves the way for every ballot measure to have its own little 505 Senate bill and to totally ignore the voters. Kill Senate Bill 505 and let the people's votes count. Count my vote. I believe that is fairness. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Root. Again, that next panel is Taylor Root, Martin Peets, and Emily Kesey. Mr. Root the Younger, why don't you go ahead?
Thank you. My name is Taylor Root. While I'm young, I've taken a keen interest in Oregon's land use system, and I'll be brief in my comments. There's no need for Senate Bill 505. The sky has not fallen, and the rush of claims is to have been expected, when the opportunity to restore your property rights has systematically been taken away over the past 34 years. Expect that many people will procrastinate, but still file on time. They were within their rights to do so. At the same time, it is reasonable to grant additional time to process the applications. The key here is to continue processing the applications. Respect the vote of the people in the initiative process. The people of Oregon have overwhelmingly voted to restore property rights, not once, but twice. The addition of Senate Bill 505 has totally disregarded the voters' opinions. There should not be a referendum. Measure 37 was a referendum. Remember Measure 7? Over 94% of the state will still be protected for farming, forestry, and wildlife if all 7,000 claims were to be developed. We are only allowed to live on less than 5% today, and of all the claims filed, only add up to about an additional 1%. And yes, granted, most of the proposed low-density, 1-acre-plus subdivisions are in rural lands, which are closer to urban areas, which is as it should be. I urge you not to rush to judgment, throw out Senate Bill 505, leave Measure 37 alone, and trust that the county planning departments are staffed with intelligent people who can and will make certain development of Measure 37 properties will be developed in an orderly fashion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Root. Mr. Peets.
Oh, I'm Martin Peets. I'm here representing two family that owns property in Lane County. Mr. Seuss and his recently deceased wife purchased two parcels of land in the late 60s and early 1970s for development. They were housing developers. Shortly after they purchased the land, Senate Bill 100 was passed, precluding them from development. So we are here testifying against Measure 505. Pardon me. I presented a letter earlier, and I've written a short letter regarding 505. Senate Bill 505 should not be passed by the legislature. It would eliminate the rights of one group of Oregonians, the one home faction, in favor of the one home faction. Passage of 505 is contrary to current Oregon law and would insult the framers of our U.S. Constitution and Oregon Constitution. Passage of Senate Bill 505 would be also totally contrary to the Oregon Supreme Court decision affirming Measure 37, which grants equal rights to every validated Measure 37 claimant. Passage of Senate Bill 505 would also add to the dismal failure of the prior Oregon legislatures through the years to fulfill the promise to Oregon landowners harmed by Senate Bill 100 in the early 1970s, a promise which was central to the passage of that initial land use legislation.
Mr. Senator 505. We have your written testimony, and you're at the end of your time. Maybe if you could summarize the rest of the testimony.
I guess in summarization, the legislature should go back and honor the promise to landowners of Senate Bill 100 to compensate them for the loss of value. It was promised years ago. The legislature's never done it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Peets. Emily Kesey is next, but let me first announce the next panel, which is Gordon Root, Kay Pollack, and Brian Grazzano. Ms. Kesey.
Co-chairs McPherson and Senator Przewski. My name is Emily Kesey, and I like 505. Claimants say that it is unfair to jeopardize their plans to develop. Many claimants who can ill afford it have spent tens and even hundreds of thousands of dollars on filing fees, utilities, surveys, roads, septic systems, and engineers. How will 505 deal with this? These claimants are among the many Oregonians on both sides who have suffered and will continue to suffer under Measure 37. Very few of us are well served by it. I've attended, I think, about 8 of these hearings, and I have really learned an incredible amount about the people of this state. On January 23rd, 2007, at one of these hearings, a member of the Oregon Bankers Association testified that statewide they had seen almost no activity from owners who want loans. We were assured that most claimants have no intention of actually developing their land. They only want to preserve their right to develop. So only 3 weeks ago, we were assured that actual subdivisions were not on the claimants' minds.
Ms. Kesey, we have your written testimony, so if you could summarize the rest of it, that would be helpful.
Okay. I guess I basically feel that we bought this argument once, and we don't need to buy it again. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Kesey. Next panel again is Gordon Root, Kay Pollack, and Brian Grazzano.
Nobody respects the beach.
Mr. Root.
Yes.
You're up.
Okay. Well, some things make you just want to go, huh? You guys have a difficult task in front of you here, but I want to say Senate Bill 505 is not, it's bad proposition. It's not what you really want to do to try and fix Measure 37. I think it's unconstitutional as it's written. It's retroactive, and it prohibits lawsuits to protect the vesting that someone has already gone through under Measure 37 claim. I think it creates even more of a problem than it solves. And, you know, I, too, did vote for Measure 37, and I voted for Measure 7, and now we have to have a referendum on it, and I think it's just bad. And I voted to restore property owner rights, not just one home It's the property owner rights that the property owner had. And what it really looks at is restoring affordability, balance, and choice to the housing market. With Oregon's land use plan of the tight urban growth boundaries, if someone wants to own an acre and a quarter lot in an urban area, it's virtually impossible, if not unaffordable, to find, if you can find it. And that's one thing that Measure 37 does restore to the marketplace. Another thing, everyone's crying the sky's falling about farms. Well, where are all the people going to come from to buy this mass of one-plus acre lots if they were available in the marketplace? They're going to develop slowly through time, and laissez-faire economics is going to dictate how fast it does grow, and that, you know, it restores balance and choice into the marketplace. And yes, there is a need for understanding and more time to probably process the rush of claims that did come in at the last moment, but that was to be expected. And if there is a fast track, we've heard a lot about farms and preserving farmland today, and you should include low-value farmland within the fast track process. And there's already measures of value or farmland in Oregon right now, and that is soil type and $80,000 a year in income.
Yeah, Mr. Root, you're beyond your time, so if
no
you could,
problem.
Okay, thank you very much. Next is Kay Pollock.
Co-chairs Brzezanski and McPherson, thank you for the committee. My name is Kay Pollock. My husband and I have lived in Clackamas County since 1973, and we now have a Measure 37 claim to create one additional lot for a single-family home, which was an option we planned for ourselves when we bought our property. This type of ballot Measure 37 claim is what most voters believed they were voting for, not for major suburban development in rural areas, rolling back decades of careful land use planning and allowing windfall profits for a few developers at our long-term expense. Voters supported Measure 37 because they thought it would improve fairness in our land use system, but fairness is hard to find in how Measure 37 is operating. Where we live in rural Clackamas County is a dramatic example. We live in hills that are all within a groundwater limited area as designated by the State Water Resources Department because the affected aquifer has already dropped in recent years. However, neither the county nor the state requires developers to provide evidence that Measure 37 overbuilding will not jeopardize existing residents' groundwater. When rural zoning was adopted following the passage of Senate Bill 100, most of the area where we live was designated timberland, partially because the groundwater resources in this rural area were never deemed adequate to sustain higher density development or even irrigation-dependent farming. Now, hundreds of new houses are slated for development down the road from us under Measure 37. It's frightening to imagine the drain on the aquifer if these new homes and wells are permitted. It would result in an inadequate and unsafe water supply for us and our neighbors. As additional homes deplete our groundwater, we ask who will pay for residents to drill wells deeper, assuming there is any potable water left.
Ms. Pollock, if you could come to a conclusion.
The legislators should pass Senate Bill 505 to fix Measure 37 to protect water rights in water-scarce areas and to bring about the fairness Oregonians said they wanted.
Thank you, Ms. Pollock. Before Mr. Grazzano comes on, let me announce the next panel. We're getting close to the end of those who came back who had signed up at our last hearing. And the last two names are Tom Brawley and Josh Brawley, and we'll have those up after Mr. Grazzano. Mr. Grazzano.
Thank you. My name is Brian Grazzano, and I do live in Salem. I'm one of the despised few. I'm actually a native Californian, and I moved up here 30 years ago, but I've gone back and forth between Oregon and Southern California for education. I'm here today to speak in favor of Senate Bill 505. Hopefully I can give a little bit more of a unique perspective. I attended the University of California at Irvine in Orange County, California in 1983. At that time, when I stood on the front steps of my administration building, I could see orange groves to the horizon. By the time I left graduate school in 1990, which is 7 years later, I stood on those very same steps, and all I could see was rooftops to the horizon. And the reason for that is hundreds of acres of orange groves, virtually hundreds of thousands of orange trees are gone. Orange County, California has no orange trees, and it's all because of rapid development. When I lived there, Orange County residents were assured that open spaces would be preserved and that there would be a balance between rural and urban spaces. And, of course, that didn't happen. And it never does. The farmland in the county is gone. It's never going to come back. Once you pave over soil, it can't be returned to crop soil. So my little story about Orange County is obvious. I'm drawing a parallel between Orange County and really San Diego County, Los Angeles County, and the Bay Area and Napa Valley. California is out of space, and Oregon is already becoming California. It's probably an example of that. From Ashland to Bandon to Central Oregon, you see the quality that set us apart is quickly disappearing. Hopefully, Senate Bill 505 should give you enough time to reassess if you want to see California stretch from Mexico to Vancouver, or just keep the quality of life that we have now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grazzano. We'll excuse this panel, and those other two names, the last two names from the prior list that I called were Tom Brawley and Josh Brawley. Tom Brawley first.
Can we persuade you to go the other way around?
That'd be fine. You reverse it. As long as you're both amenable to it.
No problem. I'm 4505. My name is Josh Brawley. I was raised on a family farm. I grew up farming with my grandfather and my father. I've always been passionate about farming and knew that that's what I wanted to do with my life. And now currently farm full-time. As a young farmer looking in the future, I have concerns with Measure 37. These are conflicts inherent between responsible farming practices and non-farm individuals. Dust is huge. We create dust. We don't like to, but we can't help it. And all the non-farm individuals think we're trying to do it on purpose, but we can't. Mother Nature makes it worse. Smoke, overspray, noise, road travel. Road travel is going to get worse with time, with more people living in farming communities. And non-farm individuals, all winter long, they forget about that farmer coming around that Niagara corner come springtime. And as time goes on, farming machinery gets bigger. It's just part of it. With these conflicts will get worse with urban area intruding into farm area. With more people, more traffic, more problems. I try to go out of my way to avoid these conflicts by trying to go move in one field where there is no dust, and I'm not going to bother anybody, or not where there's people with the wind, or one way or the other.
Mr. Brawley, you're beyond your time, so okay. If you could come to a conclusion.
I will. Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Brawley, Sr.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank the panel. I appreciate you listening to all of us out here on the other side of the fence. Our farm is eligible for Measure 5 claims. We're not going to do it. We're farmers. We believe in farming. Why am I here? Because Measure 37 was voted in by the voters. It was a very complicated measure, masked very cleverly by two terms, compensation and property rights. Vague, but clever enough to help pass that by casual voters. The gate was opened, and the numbers have poured through to what appear to them to be greener pastures. The numbers are devastating. 26,000 in Marion County alone, and I'm talking about acres. 35,000 in Yamhill County. Those are just two counties of our state. Three-fourths of those acreages are prime ag land, and devastating to the top industry in the state. Non-renewable resources. Once gone, not brought back. Heavy, heavy decisions on your part. I've already made it for myself. I know where I stand. But you're talking about future generations. You're talking about an essential to life. Until we come up with a substitute for eating, we've got to protect this, and it's your job. 505 grants you time to make wise decisions. and to advise wisely the larger body that you're here to represent and help. Please take advantage of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brawley. That concludes all the witnesses who came back from the last hearing evening. We have many sign-ups for people who signed up newly for this evening, and we've identified 18 names of people who indicated that they came from more than 100 miles. And so we're going to go to those, and I think it's safe to say we will not go beyond the people who came from more than 100 miles. So that would take us beyond 7 o'clock, and if I start losing committee members, that we may not go as far as that. Question in the back there.
If we don't get to testify tonight, could we roll over for the next?
Well, I was going to announce this later, but I'll announce it now. That would be our current intention. But do check online before you travel again to the Capitol. Check on Monday or Tuesday to make sure that that's still the plan, so don't come out of your way until you've confirmed that. But that is, there is already a notice that's been posted for and put on the legislative website for a continuation of the public hearing this coming Tuesday evening.
But as it is now, we're over 100 miles.
It's safe to say anybody who's had not come from over 100 miles will not get an opportunity to testify this evening. So I wanted to get that out there so you understand that's the situation. Representative Girard.
Mr. Chair, again, I'm sorry, but I have to reiterate my concerns that these are testimony in regard to 505 to help the committee in deciding the outcome of 505. And I'm not hearing anything really about 505. I'm hearing everything about Measure 37, which, to be quite honest, I've listened to for the last 2 years.
Representative Girard is a veteran of this issue, and he has heard probably more than he's probably heard as much about it as maybe all the other committee members combined. So
I might disagree with that. I was sitting on that committee last night.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Senator. There are a couple of veterans in the process, but
Representative Smith also.
So I stand corrected. Anyway, let's get going on the remainder of this list, and I am going to quiz you a bit about where you came from, rather than just taking the check mark here. But we'll fess up here if in fact you made a mistake when you were in misreading the form. The names I have then for over 100 miles in the order they signed up are James Waldorf, Cam Perry, and Yvonne Webbing.
Kuzbe.
I'm sorry?
Kuzbe, that works.
Oh, Kuzbe, very good.
It does make it, yeah. Sorry. I do know.
So first on that list is Mr. Waldorf. And is that you, sir?
That's me.
And where did you come from, Mr. Waldorf?
Jefferson County, Oregon.
Very good.
That's it, too.
It passes. The floor is yours.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for this opportunity to talk to you about, and I will talk about 505.
Thank you.
Yes. There's one thing in this that really bothers me. This is a poorly written piece of or suggested legislation. It says, and I'd like to read this. It says, my name is, this is in case you wanted to put one house on your property. My name is, and I'll use my name, James Waldorf. I'm an owner of the following described property in the county of Jefferson. I have elected to establish an additional single-family dwelling on the above-described private real property in lieu of any other claim, demand, or cause of action. I may have for compensation under, and it gives the number, I hereby release any other claim, demand, or cause of action, and I may have against a public entity under, and it gives the number again, this release runs with the land, binds my heirs, successors, and assigns. I wouldn't sign that on a bet. And I'll tell you why. I own a piece of property that's a half a mile from one city and about a mile and a quarter from another city. If they ever get that urban growth boundary out there, I'm going to be in the city. I've owned my property since 1961, and I testified before a committee here on Senate Bill 100. When we formed groups, people to decide how our property in our county should be used and should be zoned, it fell on deaf ears. They refused to consider it. They dictated. This is a socialistic approach that was taken, and I do not like it. I'm opposed to 505. It certainly is a poor piece of legislation proposed, as well as was Senate Bill 100 and all of the others in the past years that have been proposed. Very poorly done. Compensation portion of Senate Bill 100, which is item 35 on the...
excuse me, Mr. Waldo, if you're beyond your time, so if you could...
Boy, I'm getting awful close to beyond my time. I'll be 70 years old. I'll be 70 years old.
Very good. Thank you for your stamina.
Thank you, Waldo. I don't have time to testify for the next 33 years. It's going to be about my last
time. Well, if you expire before we do, we haven't done our job.
Thank you, folks.
Okay. Cam Perry.
Hi, my name is Cam Perry. I'm from Coos County, and both our honorable chairman and honorable members of the committee, thank you for allowing us to be here today. With all due respect to Representative Girard, who I admire greatly, and he knows that, Measure 37 and 505 almost can't be not discussed together. The spirit and intent of Measure 37, I don't think anyone disagrees with or has a problem with. It was a good common sense fix to a land use planning problem in Oregon that allowed multi-generational families, farmers, and ranchers the opportunity to build another house on their property for their kids that were coming after them, or maybe do a minor subdivision, or sell a couple of acres to prepare for their retirement. That made sense. It was a good idea. A lot of what we're seeing as a result of Measure 37 is not what made sense to the people of Oregon. In our own neck of the woods down in Coos County, we have a development proposed for 180 acres of land. It's at the pathway to our first national estuarine sanctuary, one of the most beautiful places in the world, not just Oregon. There is proposed for that through the California Development Corporation that owns that and has managed that for sustainable timber yield for generations. They are now proposing a development of between 8 and 1,000 homes and also a full commercial center, which may or may not include a motel, markets, and various opportunities like marinas. This is not what the people of Oregon wanted when they strongly endorsed Measure 37. You have an opportunity to fix this with Senate Bill 505. As a country, as a people, we've made some mistakes in the past. Civil rights, slavery. We didn't even allow women to vote for over 100 years. But we had the chance to go back and take a look at that and fix it. This is what gives us that opportunity. We can take a look at this law and give people who should by all means be able to build these dwellings, be able to do a minor subdivision, be able to even sell a few acres to prepare for their retirement to do that.
Mr. Perry,
but we do need to go and fix that. A lot of people have talked about Governor McCaul this evening. In 1982, he found out he had cancer. He also found out there was going to be a measure proposed called Measure 6, which was much like Measure 37. He was worried that it was going to open up the most precious parts of Oregon to intense rural development. He spent the last months of his life turning that back because he didn't want the shining light that was Oregon to so many other people in the nation changed. I hope you take the time to consider that and make a decision that's right for Oregon now and right for Oregon in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Perry. Yvonne Webering, and let me indicate the next three names so they can be ready. Ivy Stanton, Robert Byrne, I think, or Burns, and Bob Harris. And Ms. Webering, if you could begin by identifying yourself for the record and where you're coming from.
All right, my name is not Webbing, it's Webking.
Webking,
all
I beg
one
your pardon.
Word.
I beg your pardon.
And I travel from Portland, Oregon.
Excuse me, you say you came from Portland?
Yes.
Well, by my map, ma'am, that is not 100 miles away from the capital.
But see, I live in Eugene, And
well, that is also not 100 miles from the Capitol. So, ma'am, I'm sorry. We've had a lot of people have traveled a long way to get here, and I beg your pardon, but we just have to be, we are the Fairness Committee, and we have to be fair to the people who've traveled and have a rational process. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to excuse you.
Well, I wish you wouldn't.
Why don't you take 30 seconds and tell us how you feel.
Well, anyway, in 1964, my husband Lane purchased 243 acres near the Eugene Airport along Highway 99W. It is surrounded by industrial development. He was confident that as the airport expanded, we would be able to either sell the property or develop it. In 1970, tragedy struck our family when my husband died in a tragic accident while conducting business. I suddenly became a widow living on fixed income, doing my very best to raise two daughters. It was terribly difficult, but we all sacrificed and did the very best we could.
Ms. Webb-King, I think you're reading your testimony. What I wanted you to do is just give us in a few words. I mean, I realize that you traveled a distance, but a lot of other people traveled even further. So if you could tell us just, you know, what's your feeling about Senate Bill 505?
Oh, well. Actually, what I want to tell you about is my property that was condemned.
Okay.
How does that...
This is not a bill about condemnation, ma'am. That's a whole different subject. So I would urge you to talk to people who are advising you about your property and what's happening with it. But
I'll go down to this. However, I feel like as a citizen of this country, as a heavy taxpayer in years past, I should get my one chance. I plead with you today, do not make me suffer any longer. I oppose Senate Bill 505. It is my only hope for financial relief in the days I have left on this earth. I did not give you my whole thing because you asked me not to.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, ma'am.
I just hope that someday that none of you people have to go through what I have gone through.
Very good. Thank you, ma'am, and thank you for the panel for coming.
Thank you.
The next three names are Ivy Stanton, Robert Byrne, and Bob Harris.
I misunderstood. I thought 100 miles was the round trip. So
I'm sorry.
That's fine. Could we be placed on the Tuesday night?
Yeah, list? Your name will be rolled over with the other names.
All
but
right.
As I mentioned before, do check the calendar
we
to make
will.
Sure before you make a trip again.
Thank you so much.
Very good. And Robert Byrne, Bob Harris, and the next up, Ed Stanton.
I don't see that. I think he's passing.
Okay. And who's next among those names I just called?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead and identify yourself and go ahead and give us your
Bob test. Harris from Jefferson County.
I see. And Robert Byrne, is that?
Burns.
Burns, I beg your pardon. Okay. Actually, Mr. Burns, you're actually first on the list, so why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I'd like to thank the committee members for listening to me. I have a pamphlet or information that's being handed out, so I'll try to keep this as brief as possible. Basically, I voted for 37 because the thing is that the property that I'm talking about has been in my family since 1944, and the reason why I'm against 505 is the fact is it's very, very limited. If you had a provision in there where if you had, hey, a certain size, whether it's acreage or whatever, that you could address and, again, put in the fast lane, and then those who have larger developments, you could say, okay, look, we want to take a longer look at this and see what the impact on it. I think that would be more fair and more reasonable, but to just go with one residence, that's very, very, very restrictive, and so that's one of the major arguments that I have. as far as 505. The property that I have is outside of Oregon City. It's very limited as far as in use. You can't grow cattle, and you can't grow any other farm products as far as that because of the location. And I'd argue with a lot of other people where they say, well, you're going to get a great big windfall. Believe me, I've invested in this property, and I've paid property taxes over the years. And if I'd have taken the same amount of money and put it in the stock market or somewhere else, yes, that value of that stock would be substantially higher now. So why should I be penalized because I chose to invest in land rather than maybe putting it into stock? It is my largest asset that I own at this point in time.
Mr. Burns, if you could come to a conclusion, would
okay.
be helpful.
I think that, you know, the people passed 37 with the intent that individuals like myself can go back to the time when they purchased the property, the laws and the zoning that was in place at that point in time that's been changed to us without our approval or anything like that. And it gives us a chance as far as to, you know, benefit from this, our labor and our efforts that we have put in.
Mr. Burns, where were you from?
I'm from Warrenton, Oregon. That's okay. Where I currently live, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, very good.
Okay, Mr. Harris, identify yourself for the record and where you come from.
Bob Harris from Jefferson County. Okay. I had a prepared statement, but you don't want it read, so I'm going to cut down on it a little bit. I handed
Thank
out
you.
To you a Ben Bulletin editorial. Mm. And anybody knows anything about the Ben Bulletin knows it's about as liberal as the Oregonian is. And when they come out and say how bad this bill is, I think you guys should pay a little bit of attention. All this fix-it signs around here about fix 37, I'm surprised it don't say fix 505. I don't know how anybody could introduce a bill such as this and call herself the Fairness Committee. I mean, and you say this a timeout. Well, everybody here knows that if you pass this bill, you're going to come back with another one. Would you agree with me? You're going to come back with another bill before the session's over if this bill passes? I don't think anybody in this room doesn't doubt that. And that fix it and time out will be a permanent timeout on 37. What surprises me is 37 passed every member of this committee except Representative McPherson. To my knowledge, if I'm correct, set measure 37 passed, I should say, by every one of you guys. And Representative Rowland, 69%. Everybody else is in the 60-something percent.
Yeah, Mr. Harris, you're actually beyond your time. I'm not sure quite what point you're making.
I'm making a point.
Our ballots are all secret.
The committee could introduce 505.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Thanks.
Okay. Ed Stanton and Mike Zulis, it looks like, and William Wilcox.
69. It's only like 16 miles. I got 61 and a half, so I'll figure it out.
For fairness, I'm Mike Zulis, and I am within 100 miles. Obviously got on the wrong list.
Okay,
so
very good. Very good. Thank you for your candor on that point. And sir, which one of those are you?
I'm Bill Wilcox, William Wilcox.
Okay.
270 miles.
Very good.
One way. At night.
Well...
That makes it.
I have a printed statement here, but no one asked for it, so
I'll give it.
Give that to you. Took a few notes while I was sitting here. Hopefully I can get this all done in the minute and a half I have. First of all, I wrote a letter to the governor, and I'll just read it to you. To the Honorable Governor Kulongoski. And the reason I'm doing this is he is the one who said, let's get a bill. So that's 505, and I'm going to talk about that. I'm aware of the current legislative action regarding law resulting from the People's Measure 37. This measure, as you know, was voted in by 61% of the voting public. This was truly a nonpartisan action. The people have spoken. They were not in doubt about what they voted for. They understood this basic premise. Land use laws imposed on them after they purchased their land prevented them from using their land as desired by them when they purchased it. Also, they understood that the measure required the government to compensate them for the loss in value resulting from the mandated land use constraints or release them from these constraints. I read a statement from you that stated, this is the governor, I read a statement from you that stated that the people didn't know what they were voting for. Sir, this is very condescending. Remember, many of these people are responsible for you being in office. Also, your plan to allow one dwelling or division of property is dictatorial. Whose property is it? Not yours. The only ones having trouble with this are those malcontents and special interests that are dissatisfied with the will of the vast majority of the Oregon people. Governor, please leave it alone. Allow this to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I recognize there may be some land that is juxtaposed so as to cause environmental issues. I'm not suggesting the environmental concerns be ignored. It will be worth the public to pay for its preservation. However, it is unfair for the landowner to carry the burden for the rest of us. The amount of the land involved in this category is very small. The increase in property tax revenue gained from these subdivisions and subsequent developments will easily pay for the very small amount that must be preserved.
Mr. Wilcox, you're beyond your time. So
beyond the 1.5?
You're well beyond the 1.5. I think you're probably beyond 2.
Really? That's just one little page. Okay, well, I've lived in this county, lived here for 55 years. I've been a farmer, a forester. I know the value of land. I just want to let you know that I believe I'm opposed to 505. I think you can see that.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Wilcox, and thank you for coming such a long way. The next names are John Larraway, Deborah Larraway, and William Bayless. And between the two Larraways, I'm surmising there's a relationship, so
yes,
if you feel free to... Okay.
No.
Feel free to decide in whichever order you prefer, but do identify yourselves for the record and where you came from.
My name is John Larraway. I'm from Hood River. My written testimony is actually on Measure 37, an editorial I wrote to Oregonian. I'm a third-generation Oregon farmer. My family farms approximately 90 acres of pears. I am against Senate Bill 505. The tractor record provision is not equitable for large parcels. A 5-acre parcel is allowed one dwelling. A 50-acre parcel allowed one dwelling. It is also unfair for those with significant investment in their Measure 37 claim to have the rug pulled out from under them. We have a Measure 37 claim filed in my parents' name as well as our small family corporation. According to Governor Kulongoski, that makes us developers. I can assure you we're not developers. What we are is a family farm trying to make a living. The past several years, we've seen our expenses increase while our prices have not followed suit. In 2005, my farm had an operating loss of $70,000. My farm is not a state park. It's a business, and I expect the same as other business. It's a return on my investment. Land use laws are supposed to protect property values, but with diminished profits and increased restrictions, my values are not increasing. For example, I have a 15-acre parcel. In the last 10 years, the real market value has increased $20,000. That doesn't even keep up with inflation. I will continue to farm that parcel and all my others as long as I can do so, but if I can no longer do so, I need the right to put on a few dwellings. Not a subdivision, but at least more than one dwelling. EFU regulations need to be updated for today's agriculture economy, and a one-size-fits-all EFU regulation for both Baker, Hood River, Yamhill counties is not appropriate.
Mr. Larraway, if you could wrap up.
Senate Bill 505 does nothing to address real problems in land use laws that need updated, and I'm concerned that Senate Bill 505 is a precursor to overturning Measure 37, and then we won't have any meaningful land use reform. This is important to me because I'm here to testifying on my wife's birthday. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Well, happy birthday, Mrs. Blairway. Go ahead and identify yourself for the record.
Think of better ways to spend my birthday.
Mr. Chairman, fellow committee members, my name is Deborah Lairway. I live in Hood River, Oregon. I am not a windsurfer. I'm a farmer's wife. I am currently a member of a newly formed group, Hood River Ag Forestry Landowners Association. We formed to represent landowners in Hood River County on issues of property rights and land use. We want to educate and lobby for common sense to land use regulations. We strongly oppose Senate Bill 505. Measure 37 has yet to be resolved or heard, and we are now on to Senate Bill 505 as a fix. In our opinion, Senate Bill 505 has changed little except to the type of land use restrictions or loss of any present or past Measure 37 rights. Senate Bill 505 confuses the definition of a tract of record or lot of record or a tax lot. All contiguous property becomes one piece of land, and for our family farm, that will include unfarmable land with farmable land. Senate Bill 505 accepts building permits from January 1st, 2007. Who has been able to get a building permit because Measure 37 claims are still unresolved to be able to move to the building permit stage? Finally, Senate Bill 505 puts a hold on any other Measure 37 claims. Many people with investments into their Measure 37 claims will be stopped before or even proceeding what they legally and financially can do with their land. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Solaraway, and many happy returns.
Thank you.
William Bayless.
Good evening. My name is William Bayless, Colmanville. I commend you upon your patience with the young lady who continued to testify. You're a gentleman to scholars. A little bit confused here on 505 and Measure 37 as to how I'm going to go about this. I had prepared for one and kind of switched over to the other one. So please bear with me. My wife and I inherited the property we now own in 1960-62. At that time, the timber on the place, by the way, I'm a timber owner, not too large an acreage. The timber on the place was small and not ready for harvest. So we continued to work out and support ourselves by working for other people, because we had no marketable timber on the place. Well, it has now reached marketable stage. And in 1990, I started cutting on it and trying to keep it on a rotation basis. So cut a little each year and kind of keep things running that way. But as it turns out, I don't have enough property to do this with. And so someplace along the line, I'm going to have to drop a year or two or three, give that timber a chance to grow so I can get back in and cut a little more. But either way, I have reached a point where my age, my wife's age, is such that if we don't have the timber to help us with our income, we need to do something else. And I think that what I would do is make an offer to anybody here, if they want to buy that place at a fair price, they're plumb welcome to we'll talk it over.
Mr. Bayless, you obviously haven't reviewed legislative pay recently. you are beyond your time.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. If there are no closing comments, then we'll proceed.
So anyway, I thank you very much for your patience.
Okay, thank you very much. We have five more people who have indicated they came from more than 100 miles, and it's my intention to take those, and with the indulgence of the committee, we'll finish those up. Kay Simulink and Carla Simulink.
Could I make one statement, please, sir?
Just very briefly, sir, if you could.
I'm a guest 505.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
I guessed that.
That from the lapel sticker.
Are you one of the Simulinks?
I'm the Kay Simulink, and Carla Simulink isn't in.
Is not here, okay. Okay, very good. And then following on that will be Bill Atherton and Lauren Stills. Ms. Emily.
Thank you, and thank you for having me testify. I'd like to give a little bit of statistics.
Could you begin by identifying yourself for the record?
Oh, I'm Kay Sowling, and I'm from Madras, Jefferson County. I would like to give a few statistics that I think that maybe a lot of people here aren't aware of. That 60% of the land in Oregon is government-owned, whether it be local, state, or federal. Only 40% is owned by private individuals. 500,000 acres of private-owned land is paid for by under the CRP program, and where we're paying these people to not farm or use their property in any other respects other than just to pay them. We have been approved by both state and federal and state and local governments to not subdivide, but divide our lands according to when we purchased them in 67 in lots of whatever we feel is necessary. That is our retirement, folks. We don't have a union pension. We don't have a retirement fund of any kind. We have never worked out. My husband's been an auctioneer. We're farm people. In the respect that we worked in the cattle industry and around those type of things. We have no other pension to live off of.
Ms. Simulink, if you could come to a conclusion.
We have 50 acres of rocks, folks, and I'm going to tell you right now, in Central Oregon, I've been listening to these people here from the valley, and their living on farms is entirely different than ours is. Yes, we have water, and we have pasture, 40 acres approximately. That's all we've got. We can't live on it. My husband and I are both now 65 and over, and we need our retirement fund. You have, without doubt, with SB 100 that didn't come up for a vote for through the people, have taken away our property rights. Absolutely taken away our property rights. And as the citizens of the United States and listening to a lot of these people that said they want this thing fixed, I deeply resent being called a land developer. We aren't. We just like to live.
Thank you, Ms. Simulink. Bill Atherton.
Thank you. I'm also from Jefferson County, from the northern part up around Trout Creek. I very much appreciate you hearing this bill, and I want to address Senate Bill 505, which I would basically support because it's pretty clear you've shown that Measure 37 really was not about an elderly lady building a house out on her 20 or 40 acres. And what Measure 37 really was about is money. It's all about money, and we're finding that out, too. The problem is there's nothing about money in 505, and I think you can rectify that. All these folks who say their rural lands are so extraordinarily valuable, basically they want to put in non-farm urban uses, very rural urban uses. But what would that land be worth if we had invested in our communities, built the police, fire, library, schools, roads, sewer, water, electric power, parks, keep on going? As Senator George smiles and knows that land, what it would be worth the value of growing some hazelnuts or some wheat, minus the cost of freight down a muddy road, right? Maybe $40, $50 an acre. I suggest that you amend 505 and add a section 7. Let's talk about the money to provide for collection of the back taxes of the value of that property if they want to build a house for 20 years as a non-farm rural residence.
Mr.
So that
Atherton,
they can compensate the community just like city councilor from Albany,
if you could come to a conclusion,
has eloquently pointed out all of these costs that are going to come onto the community. So I would suggest that you make that amendment, and then you'll really start focusing attention on what this whole matter 37 is about. It's not about property rights. It's about money.
Thank you, Mr. Atherton. Lauren Stills.
Yeah, my name is Lauren Stills, and I come from Jefferson County also. I'm against the 505 bill just for the fact that Measure 37 was voted in, and going last, you know, I sound like a broken record. It was voted in. It's law. You guys gave me an avenue to take. I took the avenue. I went in. I filed. I've got my waivers. And now all of a sudden you're coming back and saying, well, you know, that might not have been the best way to go about this. But the thing is, we as individuals and stuff have to go by laws. We followed the laws that you guys, that we voted in, and we're set. And we've got a lot of money invested into getting our waivers and all that stuff, and now all of a sudden we want to come along and amend all that. I don't think it's a fair bill. Measure 37 might not be perfect, but you show me a law that is, and there's some problems with it. There, you know, whatever. But the thing is, it is a law. The people followed the law. I did when I got my waivers. And now all of a sudden you're trying to pass something that is going to take them away from me? I don't believe that to be fair.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Stills. And we have one last person who has identified himself as coming from over 100 miles, Mike Alexander. And while he's coming forward, let me ask, is there anyone else who failed to mark themselves down as having come from more than 100 miles, but did come, as their home is more than 100 miles here from the Capitol? And if they are, they should come forward and identify themselves.
Representative McPherson, if I could, while we're waiting, Mr. Atherton and I go way back a long time, and I have very fond affection for Mr. Atherton. When he was a Metro Councilor, we've debated land use laws so many times it's hard to count, and that's why I was smiling, because I love his enthusiasm. We disagree over many things, and I miss you on the Metro Council.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm glad you're living out in the country, out in Jefferson County. I'm glad you joined us rural folks, so thank you very much. Exactly.
Mr. Alexander.
Good evening. My name is Mike Alexander, and I reside in Bandon, Oregon, about 190 miles. I am going to read this, but I have timed it, and it's just about 4 seconds beyond 2 minutes, so I hope that's close enough. My family owned property in Oregon for over 100 years. We have a 40-acre parcel in Curry County zoned forest grazing. The soil is SCS Class 7E, rocky, steeply sloped land. It is unsuitable for commercial forestry or grazing use. This fact was confirmed by the state forester. We have two daughters who are soon to enter college. I have recently undergone major back surgery and can anticipate more procedures down the road. When we bought the property, we intended to subdivide it, but the state passed rules preventing it. With the passage of Measure 37, we have been depending on income from the division of our property into 8 5-acre home sites. The county planners agree that these home sites would be the highest and best use of the land. Measure 37 is a blessing to us. We have spent several thousand dollars filing our claim and applying for a land partition. SB 505 would deprive us of the badly needed income we could expect from our land division. This bill gives a chosen few the right to proceed with their projects if they had permits in hand by January of 07. Why is this group getting preferential treatment? The bill would also let single home claims go to the head of the line, again giving them special treatment. I doubt the voters intended this. I understand the concern over mega projects. I looked at the study done by PSU, and curiously, there was no information on the number of ma and pa claims versus the megabucks projects. I was able to determine the trend from data in the report. The attached table shows that most of the claims, in fact 82%, are citizens' claims for 10 or less home sites, and they represent only 28% of the total acreage. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Instead of taking away the rights of these small landowners because of concerns over mega projects, why not allow the claims for 10 home sites or less to go through while you evaluate the larger claims until rules can be developed to make sure they do not adversely impact the environment or the public? If necessary, you could also extend the time the state has to process the claims. This approach avoids the appearance of preferential treatment contained in SB 505 in its present form and is consistent with the intent of the voters who passed Measure 37. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander. You, by my watch, 2 minutes and 25 seconds. but you were reading plenty fast, so I don't begrudge you that. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Alexander. Thank you for everybody who is in attendance. As I announced earlier, at this point, the intention is to roll over the list from those who did not get on to testify this evening. But before you make a trip to the Capitol, do check online with the easiest way to do that, Monday or Tuesday, to make sure that it's still scheduled that way. Thank you very much. We're adjourned.